So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd Canto, Chapter 32, Entanglement in Fruit of Activities, text number 7. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Surya Dvarena Te Yanti Purusham Vishvato Mukham Paravaresham Prakritim Asyodpati Anta Bhavanam Surya Dvarena Te Yanti Purusham Vishvato Mukham Paravaresham Prakritim Asyodpati Anta Bhavanam Suryadvarena tu Suryadvarena te yanti
Suryadvarena te yanti
Purusham Vishvato Mukham
Paravaresham
Prakritim
Paravaresham Prakritim
Asyodpatyanta Bhavanam
Suryadvarena
te yanti Purusham Vishvato Mukham Paravaresham
Prakritim
Asyodpatyanta Bhavanam Suryadvarena Through the path of illumination
They
Yanti
approach
Purusham,
the personality of Godhead,
Vishvata Mukham,
whose face is turned everywhere,
Para Avara Isham, the proprietor of the spiritual and material worlds,
Prakritim,
the material cause.
Asya
of the world,
Utpatti
of manifestation,
Anta
of dissolution,
Bhavanam
the cause. Translation in purport, by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Through the path of illumination, such liberated persons approach the complete personality of Godhead, who is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds and is the supreme cause of their manifestation and dissolution. Report. The word Surya Dvarena means by the illuminated path or through the sun planet. The illuminated path is devotional service. It is advised in the Vedas not to pass through the darkness, but to pass through the sun planet. It is also recommended here that by traversing the illuminated path, one can be freed from the contamination of the material modes of nature. By that path, one can enter into the kingdom where the completely perfect personality of Godhead resides. The words, Purusham Vishvato Mukham, mean the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is all perfect. All living entities other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead are very small, although they may be big by our calculation. Everyone is infinitesimal, and therefore in the Vedas the Supreme Lord is called the Supreme Eternal amongst the Eternals. He is the proprietor of the material and spiritual worlds and the supreme cause of manifestation. material nature is only the ingredient because actually the manifestation is caused by his energy. The material energy is also his energy. Just as the combination of father and mother is the cause of childbirth, so the combination of material energy in the glands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the cause of the manifestation of the material world. The efficient cause, therefore, is not matter, but the Lord himself. Vandeham. Shri Guru Shri Jata Parakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Svamyaniti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine. So at the present time in the material society, the foolish rascals, under the guidance of the so-called scientists, accept that matter is the ultimate cause of everything. They cannot see the spiritual reality. They say that life comes out of matter. Prabhupada has countered this absurd argument that life comes from life, it doesn't come from matter. Just try to take some dead matter and produce a living thing out of it. It cannot be done. It's never been done. It will never be done. Rather, we see that living beings are there first and then matter follows them. So we should not be misled by the false propaganda, the Darwinists in this group and that group, who propose that matter is the cause of everything. Well, actually, now they even say that everything comes out of nothing. It's Dr. Stephen Hawking, he says like that. Everything comes out of nothing. Do we have any experience of anything coming out of nothing? Can you produce something out of nothing? It cannot be done. If things actually come from nothing, then show one experiment, Dr. Hawking, that you can actually take nothing and get something out of it. So they make a big ado out of this nothingness philosophy, which is voidism, actually. But even, as I explained the other day, even the philosophy of nothingness is something. It's a concept. It's erroneous, but it is a concept. So even nothing is not nothing. You see what I'm saying? So there's no such thing really as nothing. Nothingness doesn't actually really exist. It's just a false concept. So when they try to base their whole philosophy, reality, on nothingness, it's a hopeless thing. Prabhupada said very succinctly, he said, our philosophy is substance. One word. Someone says, what is your philosophy? You say, substance. They say reality is Dr. Stephen Hawking says there's no substance, it's nothing there. So there's not any really substance to the whole thing ultimately. But our philosophy is substance, you see. They say nothingness, we say somethingness, you see. Our philosophy is substance or somethingness. There's a something there. So what is the nature of that original something? How can we understand it? One thing we can see, we are persons. We experience that we're persons. In other words, I have my personality, you have your personality. We extinguish that we're different persons. We're not all the same person. We experience our individuality and all of our interactions with each other. We can experience that we're individuals, we're persons. So, the question is, can persons come out of something impersonal? The example I'd like to give is the gold mine example. Can you get gold out of a goldless gold mine? Can you get persons out of an impersonal existential mine? It's not possible. You see, just as you cannot get gold out of a goldless gold mine, you can't get persons out of an impersonal or nothingness existential mind. To get gold out of the gold mine must indeed possess gold. So if persons exist, and that the original source of existence must also possess personality. And that which possesses personality is a person. An imperson cannot possess personality. Only persons possess personality. Therefore, even without any scriptural evidence, just by logic, by philosophy, we can understand the original source of existence is a person. So what then is our relationship with that person? He is the cause and we are the caused. So we are subordinate. The cause is superior energy, and the caused is lesser. We are dependent on that original person for our existence. Therefore, we are subordinate to him. So if one then can learn the art of how to actually act in that proper capacity according to one's relationship, that's called the science of bhakti. Then one actually enters into a state of perfect harmony with the source of all existence, Krishna, or God, Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, Anadir Adir Govinda, Sarva Karana Karanam. When we actually learn how to harmonize ourselves with that Supreme Person, the source of all existence, Lord Sri Krishna, then we are in a state of perfect harmony. Just like in music, you see, if the musicians are all playing, they're not harmonizing, then it's not pleasing to the ear. Cacophony is the word. The sounds are all conflicting with each other. It's not very pleasing. And when the sounds are vibrating sympathetically with each other, then it's very pleasing to the ear. So, when we actually can vibrate harmoniously with that original person, we can synchronize our thoughts, our words, and our deeds, be in a state of harmony with him, you see. Then life becomes beautiful, becomes wonderful, becomes very sweet. The only reason we ever feel anything miserable or anxiety or bewildered, that's what we're not harmonized with the Supreme, you see. We're not synchronized with that Supreme Person. We're not in tune with him. Just, I remember when I was in high school, I was in the all-city orchestra. I played the violin. So the first thing he would do, the first violin, he would tune his violin to a tuning fork, and then we would all tune our instruments to the first violin. So we're all in harmony with each other, you see. So just, and then we could make very nice music because we were all tuned in to that one, to the first violin. So Krishna is the first violin, you see. We have to all get in tune with Krishna. And then everything becomes very beautiful and wonderful. So how to tune in to Krishna? Krishna is telling us exactly what we have to do to tune in. Manmanava mamad bhakto majajimang namaskaru mamivashasya yukvayvang atmanang matparayanaha. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, become my devotee, absorb yourself in me, offer obeisances unto me. In this way you will surely come to me. The beauty of this reality that we live in is that the author of reality itself, Krishna, has given a very clear instructions on how you can actually live in a state of unlimited happiness at every minute. You don't have to guess. You don't have to do scientific research. It's already there. The perfect formula for unlimited happiness and peace is already given by Krishna. Bhoktaram jagatapasam sarvaloka maheshvaram suhridam sarabhutanam jatvanam shantanrichtati. One who knows me is the supreme owner, the supreme enjoyer, and the best friend of all living entities becomes absolutely, totally peaceful within his heart. So we don't have to reinvent anything. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. It's already given by Krishna. Here is the system, how you can achieve unlimited happiness. Now just simply hear from me, hear from my representatives who are acting, who are training you on behalf of me. And this way your life will become perfect. It's a very simple process. We simply have to take it exactly as it is being given. If we try to add something to it, try to give our own interpretation, then we spoil the whole thing. Well, I remember when I was a young, I first moved into the ashram there with Vishnu Jan Swami. We were told, they said, the Brahmacharis said, told me this, they said, if you ever think I think, you should go into the closet. That was the rule. You say I think, that's taboo. That's taboo, Prabhu. You don't say I think. So one day I slipped out of my mouth, I think. So I went in the closet, did my penance for a few minutes with all the sleeping bags in them. Because I said, I think. But what is our opinion, you see? Our opinion has no value. You see? Now when Krishna gives his opinion, that's final. It's like the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court gives an opinion. That's the law. Krishna's opinion is law. My opinion, your opinion, forget it. What do we know, you see? A bunch of jokers. Our senses are imperfect. Therefore, we have a tendency to be illusion. And therefore, we make so many mistakes. And in spite of that, we're so puffed up. You see? Yes, I am very learned and I am very advanced. You see? So we take advantage of these great sages, Mahajano Yenagatastapanta. Take advantage of these great personalities who are giving themselves completely to their whole lives dedicated to waking us up from our delusion, from our illusion, bringing us back to our natural original consciousness. But take advantage of the mercy of these great personalities, especially our beloved Srila Prabhupada. We take advantage of the mercy of these great personalities. Then our lives become transformed. Here we've been transmigrating in the cycle of birth and death for thousands and millions of lifetimes. A demigod, a worm, a germ, a bird, a fish, a human being, a king, a pauper. So many things. We've been going through running the gamut of the cycle of birth and death. Millions and billions of lifetimes trying to squeeze some enjoyment from that place where there is absolutely no enjoyment. So now if we become a little sober, become a little intelligent, and realize, I don't have it together. I'm a basket case. I don't have it together. I'm a bewildered soul, trying to squeeze enjoyment out of a place where there is no enjoyment. So let me take advantage of these great personalities. Let me hear from them. Let me serve them. tadvidi pranipatena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tatvadarshinaha. Just try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively. Render service unto him. The self-realized souls can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. It's a fact. Prabhupada has brought such amazing, illuminating knowledge to the world. Such amazing knowledge. If we simply hear Prabhupada's teachings, we apply Prabhupada's teachings, the whole world becomes transformed for us. You see? Shastra Chaksus. One who sees through the eyes of the scriptures sees a whole different reality. He experiences an entirely different reality. Behind this material creation, the spiritual nature is there. This is simply a manifestation of the spiritual nature. Those who try to live in the material nature divorced from the spiritual nature, they must necessarily be frustrated and miserable. The only happiness they have is an illusion of happiness. They don't taste genuine happiness. But those who can actually see the spiritually underlying spiritual reality behind or within this material nature and learn from great realized personalities how to reconnect the spiritual nature with the material nature with the spiritual nature by devotional service, they realize the sweetest happiness. The same caliber of happiness which is experienced by the inhabitants of the spiritual world can also be tasted by those in this material world who are purely absorbed in devotional service without any tinges of sense gratification. So we should strive for that consciousness. Now we're polluted by lust, by anger, by greed, by madness, by illusion, by envy. We're polluted by these things. Therefore, we're not getting that full taste. We chant Hare Krishna and we get tired of chanting. We chant Hare Krishna, we fall asleep while we're doing our japa. We're not getting the taste. But if we endeavor and we pray and we beg for the mercy, Krishna, please help me. Please help me be fully absorbed in pure devotional service without any tinge of desire for material sense gratification. Let me totally give up any desire I have to enjoy separately from you, and let my only desire be to please you totally and completely and wholly with my every thought, word, and deed in all times, places, and circumstances. We have to train ourselves to be in this prayerful mood 24/7. Because if we do that, the material nature will not be able to touch us anymore. We'll have Maya-proof hearts. Is it? It's like a bulletproof vest. Is it? We'll have a Maya-proof vest protecting our consciousness. We simply have to tightly embrace this process of Krishna consciousness. Hold on for dear life, as they say. It's a rough ride in this material world. We're being attacked from every side by the material nature. Our minds are still polluted, sometimes bewildered, dragged away from Krishna. All these difficulties we're going through, but every one of these difficulties can be overcome by sincerely begging Krishna, please, my dear Lord, and my dear energy of the Lord, please engage me in your service. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So now there may be some questions, I can try to answer them. From a kid now, how to please the Lord very much and how to become a pure devotee. Wow. Great question. Krishna says that if you become the devotee of my devotee, then you actually become my devotee. Ye me bhakta jana parata, na me bhakta stite janaha, mad bhakta nam cha ye bhaktas, te me bhakta tamamata. Well, I'll be devoted to my guru, but I don't know about these other devotees. No. We have to be devoted to all the devotees, you see. Every devotee is worshipable by Krishna. Just like Siddhama, when he came, Krishna worshipped him. He worshipped Siddhama when he came to Dwarka. So actually, every devotee is worshipable by Krishna. So we should see every devotee is worshipable. Therefore we pray, Vanchaka Patarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ebhacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. The more you become devoted to the devotees, that's how Krishna will become very, very pleased with you. And that devotion to the devotees will transform you gradually and experience immediate results in Krishna consciousness. Well, actually, it is possible to get immediate results in Krishna consciousness. Powerful. The demigods were being attacked by the demons in the heavenly kingdom, and they could not fight off the demons. It was such a fierce attack, they could not fight them off. So they asked Maharaj Khatvanga, please come and help us. So he came and he fought for many, many long years very valiantly, and he defeated the demons. So the demigods were so pleased, now whatever boon you like, please tell us what you like. Took complete shelter of Krishna and became a pure devotee immediately. Prabhupada gives that example. So it is possible to get immediate results. But because we're still skeptical, as Prabhupada told us, Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill and you were thinking, maybe. You see? Because of our skepticism, it's holding us back from getting the result. That's why this knowledge is so important. We have to defeat by carefully reading these books and understanding these teachings of Srila Prabhupada. We have to defeat all the skepticism that we all have, you see. Because that's when at what point you decided to give your life to the movement. Yeah, I was thinking I would just do my own thing. I would follow the devotees so I could learn how to write better songs. And I realized one morning when I heard the Gavastakam prayers on the Radha Krishna Temple album, these devotees, they're tasting something that I'm not tasting. I realized I was on the outside of the honey jar licking and not getting any honey, and they had their tongues right in the middle of the honey. I realized these devotees are tasting nectar and I'm not tasting it. So being an envious person by nature, I wanted to also taste that nectar. When I heard the way they were singing Gavastakam prayers, Samsaradhamanalalidaloka, I realized they are tasting something so sublime, so sweet, it's beyond any material conception, actually, what they're experiencing. So then I thought, wouldn't it be beautiful if I gave my life to Prabhupada? The tears were streaming down the face, and that was it. When can I get initiated? So that was it. Envy brought me to Krishna consciousness. I was envious of the nectar that devotees were tasting. I didn't want to be on the outside of the honey jar any longer. I wanted to be right inside the honey jar. And it worked. Yeah, it worked. I've been tasting a lot of nectar ever since. Nectar keeps getting sweeter and sweeter, too. Unbelievable how devotees and blind following. Prabhupada said, no blind following. Blind following is condemned. That's the balance. You put blind following down to 0% and you put intelligent inquiries up to 100%. That's what Vishnu Swami told me. He said, you must inquire until your intelligence is fully satisfied. That's how I was trained. And that's completely in line with what Prabhupada taught us. You mentioned using the word, I think. Thinking is a sign of intelligence. Well, there's two ways of thinking. You can think in terms of the scripture, or you can think on just, you know, on your own concoctions. We're supposed to think. We're supposed to analyze things, very quick teachings. There's a verse like that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that if you apply your intelligence, you will find it to be very sublime. There's some verse like that. I would need millions or more lifetimes so I can reach this stage, only in this life, how? The thing is, if you make the sincere endeavor, this Tamal Krishna was told by Srila Prabhupada in India, because it was very nice when the devotees were really blissing out, here we are in India, you know, we can just go deep into the middle, all these heavy managerial type things, going and talking to this lawyer, going here and there, it was just like, you know, riding in the cab, getting in the cab every morning after the morning program and going all across Bombay to meet different officials in different offices, this legal stuff, and Tamal Krishna felt like he was losing his Krishna consciousness, going out and doing all this legal stuff. And he related this anxiety to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada said if he would simply give this one life to Lord Chaitanya, whatever is lacking at the time of death, he will cover for you and take you back to Godhead. So, all right, I'm not completely humble yet. I got all these problems of being puffed up, thinking I'm a hot shot and this and that. But let me understand, I have this problem my whole life to serve this movement. You see, if there's anything lacking in me, because I've given my whole life, the Lord Chaitanya will cover for me at the time of death. Take me back to Godhead. So just dedicate yourself fully to take, even though I don't taste the experience of pure consciousness. Yes, right now I'm not tasting pure bhakti. Right now I'm still hankering after material sense gratification. And I'm getting some taste from Krishna consciousness, and I'm also not getting taste. My mind is agitated still because I still have my material desires. So the thing is, you should have faith in this process and hold on to it even though you're not getting the full taste yet, because gradually, if you do that, gradually, the taste will increase and increase and increase until finally you reach 100% taste. Prayerful mood is not there unless in great difficulty. How to have forces? So Kunti did. Or go out on book distribution. You may feel some difficulty approaching all the people on the street with books. Put yourself in a service that you're not comfortable with. But suddenly, they don't want to go out on book distribution. They feel uncomfortable knocking on doors and approaching people with the books. You see. And go out on book distribution. That's a way to attract Krishna's mercy immediately. Special mercy. What should we pray to Krishna? A child is asking, we should beg for pure devotional service. And the Hare Krishna mantra is the ideal. False humility. The thing is, if you beg for humility, please, you meditate on Lord Chaitanya's prayer, and you beg Krishna to please help me be in this mood that is described by Lord Chaitanya. If you beg for that, the Lord will reciprocate. Why the scientists can't prove their predictions? Because their predictions are not, they're bogus. That's why they can't prove them. They don't have any, they've lost their common sense. They want to kill God. How to control anger? Anger should only be used in the service of the Lord, otherwise you should be very tolerant. Sometimes in the Lord's service we have to be angry. That's our duty. Just like that time I was passing out the Simply Wonderfuls and on the street, and when a hippie came up and he knocked all the Simply Wonderfuls out of my hand into the street. So I became a little angry, and I chastised him very severely, and it worked. He took my chastisement, and he became a humble devotee immediately from being chastised. He went on and picked up all the sweets. See, if I hadn't gotten angry at him, he would not have overcome the reaction of the offense of throwing all the prasadam out in the street, because I did get angry at him. That anger actually cut through his false pride, and he surrendered and ran out there and picked up all the street and the sweets. So anger can be used in Krishna's service, in our preaching work. Sometimes we have to show anger. Although it's it's not uncontrolled anger. It's angry with a cool head. Like Prabhupada told us, there was one, the University of Texas auditorium, it was very popular. Dr. Rao, he was a sensation on the campus. Go hear Dr. Rao's lectures. It was some kind of Buddhist philosophy. And so one of our devotees wrote Prabhupada what to do about this Dr. Rao. Prabhupada said, challenge to a debate. And reply with a cool head. Like Prabhupada would sometimes show anger, and devotees thought he was losing his temper, but no, he was completely controlled. That example at MIT, some person was saying, Swamiji, it's all one. He was very adamant, it's all one. And Prabhupada grabbed him by the shirt. He said, it's all one, why don't you wear a cotton ball? He was shaking him by the shirt. And devotees thought, oh no, Swamiji's losing his temper, call the cab, we got to get him out of here. Swamiji's losing his temper. They weren't used to seeing Prabhupada's anger like that, you see. But Prabhupada's completely in control of the whole situation. He hadn't lost his temper. So they misunderstood that Prabhupada had lost his temper or something like that. But no, Prabhupada was using anger as a teaching tool, you see. So sometimes devotees can do that. A qualified preacher who's acting compassionately and intelligently can utilize anger. One of my friends said that Jagannath is the incarnation of Lord Shiva. No, he's not the incarnation of Lord Shiva. I like listening to Krishna Katha from one of the senior devotees. Does it mean I am doing it only to enjoy my senses? No. Krishna Katha is spiritual. It's our duty, actually. Machchita madgata prana bodhiyantak padaspadam katayantashtamam nityam tashanticha ramanticha. Ramanticha means they enjoy like anything. You're meant to enjoy like anything, Krishna Katha. That's Krishna's description in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 10, text number 9. One relishes, the devotees relish, they deeply relish Krishna consciousness. Yes, there are God-conscious scientists. Our ISKCON, certainly, we have God-conscious scientists. There's also one scientist, Dr. Rupert Sheldrake. He's a British Christian scientist, and he's very much against what he calls this dogma they call science. He's written books very much similar to what Prabhupada was saying. He's gotten some bright realizations, Dr. Rupert Sheldrake. He has a book called The Scientific Delusion. He's giving many arguments, very good arguments. They blindly follow Darwin, and they call it science. But science means you're open-minded, you're open-mindedly investigating what is reality. You don't just take some dogma that was handed down, you know, from Charles Darwin, and blindly. That's not science. Scientist means he's open. He's open-minded. A devotee is the real scientist, you see. He's open-mindedly inquiring, what is the absolute truth? A tato brahma jigyasa. What is the nature of the absolute truth? That's a true scientist. A person who's sincerely inquiring, what is the nature of the absolute truth? That person will be given guidance from within his heart and externally, from Vaishnavas, from Guru. That person will be brought in contact with Prabhupada's books. So many times our book distributors, they have the experience that somebody gets a book, say, I was looking for something like this. So if one has that sincere desire to actually understand higher knowledge, to understand who am I, what is the purpose of my existence, Krishna will make arrangements to facilitate that. How to control lust, anger, and greed. Engage everything. If you're greedy, you'll become greedy to awaken your Krishna consciousness. It's like I was envious of the devotees that they were tasting more nectar, you see. So I used envy in Krishna's service. Okay, well they're tasting all this nectar, I'm not tasting. Well, let me also follow what they're doing and surrender to the bona fide spiritual masters, Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Yet sometimes we just don't. Actually, generally, we don't like to be corrected, you see. It's tough to have our faults pointed out. Because we think we're very advanced, very high level, you know, very qualified people. And someone points out a fault, we go, we really want to reject it. Prabhupada said one time in this connection, he said, the student who is more chastised, he is advanced. When Lord Chaitanya was chastised by his Guru Maharaj, he took it as the greatest mercy. So actually, when someone points out our faults, instead of immediately, you know, having our little false ego flare up, either within our heart or even externally showing a flare up, what's being stated here? Let me understand what's being said and see what I can learn from this. You see, that you always have the learning mood, then your mind will never be disturbed by anything. Always be in that mood of learning, 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 learning. Student mood. Okay? No more questions. Spiritual desire. You have to see what's stated in the scriptures. If your desire is in accordance with the scriptures, that you want to, by the way you decorate the deity, by the way you play the drum, the way you sing the kirtan, these are all spiritual desires. So you have to see, is it something that is pleasing to Krishna? Well, here we're in the third canto, so you should be attending these Bhagavatam classes, so you're well-grounded living entities. What is our position here in this material world? The Sahajas, they will simply talk the 10th canto. Mm-hmm. Just like I remember years ago I was in Mumbai with our Giri Raj Swami. We went by one place, 20 feet in the air. Swami had to take a little ladder in the back to get up on this huge platform. And he would get up there and talk about Krishna kissing the gopis and all these kind of things. And then on the side, they would have, on the lower level, they have all these other, where all the other Brahmins would be, somebody would be doing first canto here, second canto. It was all like in the background. It's kind of like a beehive buzzing in the background. Somebody's doing first canto here. So they're getting all the whole Bhagavatam at once, but they're only hearing about Krishna kissing the gopis. So I think it was called Dungri Maharaj was his name, if I remember correctly. So this sort of Bhagavatam, seeing the gopis, that's all I want to hear. Don't tell me about how the universes are coming out of the breathing of Mahavishnu. That's low-level stuff. I don't want to hear anything about that. No, we have to gradually, to actually properly understand the 10th canto. We need to systematically go canto by canto by canto by canto. And then we can properly understand and appreciate these intimate loving exchanges between Krishna and these sahajas. They do that. They say, okay, I will be Krishna and you be Radharani and we will enjoy it. Completely bogus, nonsense things. So, our time is up now and this is my last lecture of this visit, and I really thank you all, especially Aniruddha Prabhu, for so kindly welcoming me here and in this wonderful community that he's so expertly managing by his preaching and his sincere desires to serve Prabhupada's mission.